I love a good cappuccino blast from Baskin Robbins. Ever had one? My daughter and I, fixated. Eden and I love it. It reminds me of my childhood because my mom would make cold coffee with ice cream and call it cold coffee. But this one's kicked up a notch. It's got ice cream, caramel, hot fudge, like all mixed. Oh my gosh. But recently I haven't been able to have it because it's expensive. Just like everything else, everything's, you know, inflation. Everything's gone up in price, right? Until one day Eden goes, Dad, cappuccino blasts are $5. And I'm like, $5? You can't get $5 for anything anymore. It's a $5 treat yourself again. And I haven't had that in a while. And so the problem was we looked at our schedule and we're like, there's no time in this week. We can't figure out. And so I just started getting fixated on when can I go get a cappuccino blast? I started looking at my calendar. What meetings can I have at Baskin Robbins? Oh, and so I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm just like, oh, caramel indulges, gift from God. Like I just started like, I was so fixated on it. And then one day, like near the end of the week, Eden texts me and says, Dad, I have an hour break from work. And immediately both of us respond at the same time, text to each other, cappuccino blast, all caps, exclamation, exclamation. I said, on my way. So I show up at her work, pick her up, take her to Baskin Robbins. We both order the $5 treat yourself and we sit down. And as I'm about ready to get that amazing taste, oh, I'm having a moment right now. I look up at the menu and it has the original price and it says $5.89. It wasn't that good of a deal. I've just convinced myself $5 was such a good deal. I was annoyed. I couldn't even enjoy my drink out of that. This thing had taken so much of real estate in my mind for the whole week for 89 cents. Ever been there? Where you just get so fixated, not a cappuccino blast, but you get so fixated on something that you can't think about anything else. And it drives your outlook on life. It keeps you going in this direction that you're like, man, I just keep thinking about this. Like me and bacon, I have an unhealthy obsession, right? And it's like, do you think about something so much that it moves your life in that direction? There's this saying from a pastor I love that I quote to myself all the time. And it's this: your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Would you agree with that statement? That what we get fixated on, what we get so focused on, that we orient our life around that. If it's a girl or a boy that you become infatuated with, you're like, I need to be around them more often, right? Or if it's a school you're trying to get into, you study so hard and you do extracurricular activities to get into that school. Or maybe it's a financial goal and you sat down with your financial planner and they tell you this is what you need to do. And now you've completely rearranged your life to meet that financial goal. Or it's even a job description or a job title. And now you've studied for the interview and you're like, I'm going to get these certifications to be ready to get that title. And so your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Now, those are all good things I said, right? But I would argue that it's even stronger for the bad thoughts in our life because we get so focused on a negative thought, right? It could be you bombed the presentation, or even it could be what they said about you behind your back and you found out. And because of that, you wake up thinking about that at night. You can't stop focusing on what they said about you. And now because of that, you can't get things done. You can't even enjoy the good things in life because that's what happens. We're our own worst critic, aren't we? The bad overtakes the good so quickly. A couple years ago, we surprised our kids with the trip to Disney. And we said, we're going to Disney. Yay, they're so excited. I go, okay, so we got to get in the car for 8 hours with no Wi-Fi. Boo. And they just complain the whole way. And I'm like, you guys, what? Anyways, this is what happens to us. We get so focused on the negative, on what's bringing us down, that our thoughts determine our actions. And here's what scientists have found out. The more you dwell on something, the harder it is to come out of it because it develops what's called a neural pathway. So you see, your brain is actually malleable. It can be shifted and formed by your thoughts. And when you focus on something so deeply, it creates a rut in your mind. And it's harder and harder, the more you focus on it, to come back from that rut. Now, sometimes it's good. It's a core belief that you just keep focusing on, that you live by. But a lot of times, it causes you to get stuck in your thinking. And if we become obsessed with this, what ends up happening is it not only changes your mind, it overtakes your character. And this is what we've been talking about, because in part one of this series, David, that happened to David. His character was overtaken by his desires for Bathsheba. And last week, when April talked about, if you've not listened to last week's message, oh my gosh, go back and listen to it on the app or YouTube. It was fantastic. And she talked all about how Elijah, his view of God, what he knew about God was overtaken by his fear. And that's all he was focused on. And because of that, when we act like that, we miss out on all the warning signs that lead us to a crash and burn. And then when we hit that moment, when we actually crash and burn, it's even worse. Because what happens is, because your brain has experienced trauma from a crash and burn, those neural pathways, the development of them is deepened because they've been accelerated due to what you've experienced. And then you start saying things like, there's no way back. You start believing this in your core, I'm a terrible person. I'm so dumb. And you become that critic, and you start living out of that prophecy where it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because it becomes your narrative. And we're so prone to this. Like, we've got to fight constantly across of this drift, because this is what I know about you. That's not actually you. That's not actually me. That's not us. Even though we're prone to it, we're just stuck in a prison. And we're in this vicious cycle that we keep telling this narrative to ourselves over and over and over, and we can't get out. So what would it be like to be free again? What would it be like to have peace, to be able to enjoy the people you're around, to sleep at night, to rest? What if this is actually part of your comeback story? So that's what we're going to be talking about today as we finish our series, Crash and Burn. And I love this byline, failure is not fatal. Many times we get stuck thinking that failure is fatal and we can't come back from a setback. But what I want to tell you today, and what we've been doing in this whole series, is there's hope. There's a way out. There's a way out of that prison in your mind, that cycle that keeps causing you to look down and go in this direction that you don't want to keep going to, and you can stop becoming who you, and start becoming who you want to become, not the direction you're headed in. And so here's what I want to do. Before I even continue, I'm going to say some things that's going to cause your mind to start thinking about certain things going on in your life. And if you're driving, pay attention, because it's easily, you can get so distracted. So I'm going to give you my bottom line for today. So that way you're like, he said that. Yeah, I'm thinking about that person. Yeah, that's happened. You start forgetting what I said. So that way I'm going to give it to you so that you don't have to keep thinking about it, pun intended. All right. And it's based off a commercial. I love this commercial. It's from apartments.com. It's Jeff Goldblum with his Steve Jobs black turtleneck and just doing a motivational speech. And he goes this, he says this, change your apartment, change your life. It cracks me up. I'm like, that is so ridiculous. Changing your apartment does not change your life. But then I realized something. I was like, wait, actually, what if it did? Because when you change your apartment, the reason you're changing it, you got a new job, you got a new roommate, or you just need to change to a closer part of town, and it actually makes you feel better, doesn't it? It makes you think differently. It changes your perspective, so you actually change your life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Change your thinking, change your life. When you change your thinking, it changes the direction which will change your life. Now, I know that's too simple, Raul. That's oversimplified. I agree. I struggled with this message because of that. But then I realized something. We are educated way above our obedience. Too many times we overcomplicate things, which is why we can't be who we want to become, do what we want to do, and do what our Heavenly Father has called us to do. And so I'm going to simplify, but I'm going to unpack it a little bit. And the way I'm going to unpack it is to talk about Jonah, the prophet Jonah. And I used to think he is so irrelevant. I can't believe this isn't even in the Bible. God, this is not helpful. But the more I've studied him over the past couple of years, it's slowly becoming my favorite story in scripture and my favorite scriptures, because there's so much prophecy, there's so much encouragement in these short four chapters. And I'm gonna be bouncing around today in it, but I'm gonna encourage you, read the four chapters this week, start tomorrow and read a chapter a day. And I just can't wait to see what God illuminates for you through Jonah's story, because this was a prophet of God. And what that means is he was a mouthpiece for God. But he gets so fixated on something and he actually never recovers. I can't believe they left this in the Bible. Like, this blows my mind. So here we go. Jonah 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. So this is how a prophet would work. The Lord would give the prophet a word to take to a specific group of people. Usually it's the Israelites, but here it was the Ninevites. Now, this was actually a strategic move by God because this was in a Syrian city of Nineveh. They were essentially the largest city in the known world and the world's superpower. Today, you could see its ruins opposite the city of Mosul in northern Iraq. So this city was massive. It was 120,000 within its walls. But because they were conquering everyone around them, the three surrounding regions around those walls included 600,000 people. This is why it's called the Great City of Nineveh. If God could change them, he could change the world. And so he sent Jonah there. And of course, Jonah goes, right? He's a prophet. Actually, he went in the opposite direction. Oh, he's right, to get away from the Lord. So Jonah, here's what Jonah hears. The Ninevites, wait a second, I know them. They're wicked. Those people are cruel to my people. God, those are your people, the Israelites. See, here's what would happen. These people were horrible. They would treat people like fish because they worshiped a fish god. And I can't even say some of the things they did, but they would burn and ravage the city to ground. And when they did, they would literally cast lines and capture people by hooks in their mouth, drag all the people into a giant fishnet and carry them, dragging them on the ground, all in one fishnet back to Nineveh. They had no regard for human life. And so when Jonah hears this, he's like, nope, they don't deserve this message. They don't deserve forgiveness or redemption. So here's what happens. And so he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. I want to show you a map of what Jonah did. Watch this. He started at Joppa. Nineveh was only 550 miles away. Instead, he said, I'm going to go to the remotest possible place that I know, Tarshish, 2,500 miles. He's like, I'm out, deuces, no way. All right, let's go back to the verse. But here's the crazy thing. He was so fixated on getting away from his assignment, and he allowed his opinion to overshadow his assignment. He was so fixated on getting away from what God told him to do that he said, I'm going to try and escape from the Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus in this room, we know you can't escape from the Lord. If we believe he's omnipotent and omniscient, all-seeing and all-knowing, you cannot escape from the Lord. But here's what happens when you get tunnel vision. You forget what you know. You get so fixated on your opinion, on what you think is right, just like Jonah did, and you forget that God is with you still, and that he's going with you, and you look ridiculous. And this is what happened to Jonah. He looked ridiculous when we read about him. And this is Jonah's crash and burn moment, thinking he can run away from God, thinking he can run away from what God has called him to do. But here's the thing. Don't we do that? Don't we act like that? We get so hyper-fixated on something, what they said, how our kids are not acting how we want them to act, how we didn't get that promotion, how our spouse is not acting how we want to act. And we just get so fixated on it that we start acting ridiculous. And if someone were to call us out, it would wake us up. We'd have a come to Jesus moment is what I like to talk about, right? But not Jonah. He's like, I am running. And here's the thing. Even though we're running, we know it's wrong, don't we? Like Jonah knows what he's doing. He's totally sure of himself. And that's what happens to us. When we know what is right and yet we still do what is wrong, why? It's because we've created that neural pathway in our brain and our life moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So my question to you is, what thoughts are causing you to run right now? What's going on that you are so hyper-fixated on that's causing you to act irrationally or illogically, to run from what you know you're supposed to do? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it a desire? And if you're a follower of Jesus, is it doing what God has called you to do? So Jonah runs, buys a ticket, gets on the ship, heads to Tarshish away from Joppa and away from the Ninevites. And while he's running on the ship, it's sailing away and a giant storm comes. And the sailors who are manning the ship start freaking out and getting so scared. They're like, we're going to die. They're throwing things overboard and they don't know what to do. Then all of a sudden, they look down at Jonah and he's sleeping. And we're about to die. How can Jonah be sleeping? Side note, it's because he got comfortable in his compromise. If you think about that, he had made his decision. He was so sure of it. He can sleep through a storm and not let anything jar him or wake him up. So they wake him up and they're like, Jonah, what's going on? Here is his response. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. Here it is. I know that this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. When he woke up and he saw the storm, he realized something. First, he was headed in the wrong direction and God was trying to get his attention. But then second, his decision, his fixation, his opinion to be right was affecting not just him anymore. It was affecting the people around him now, where they might actually die. And so Jonah's running is not just causing problems for him, it's causing for people around him. And so what might happen if you keep running in this direction that your thoughts are taking you? Who are you gonna leave in your wake? Is it getting you to who you wanna become? Is it getting you to the direction, the future you prefer? Or is it causing you to run in the opposite direction? So I'm gonna recap the rest of the story. They throw him into the sea. They're like, gone. I'm like, wow. And here, you gotta read this. It said it was a miracle. The sea became calm and the clouds went away. The storm just vanished like that. And he sinks down into the ocean and God sends a big fish to eat him. And I was like, really? I know I'm an optimist, but sometimes I get a little skeptical when I read the Bible. I'm like, is that like a whale? And is that even possible? Because he spends 3 days in the belly of this big fish and then gets spit out at Nineveh. That's disgusting. And so, I found this article recently, a video of a kayaker getting swallowed by a whale and then spit back up and they were fine. And I'm like, oh my gosh, sorry, God. I thought it was a metaphor, all right? This is reality. You should go research it. It's amazing. It's possible. So now I believe it. And so he gets spit out at Nineveh, on the shores of Nineveh, realizes where he is, goes and proclaims the message to the king of Nineveh. And the king issues a decree and says, what we've been doing is wicked. We should change and look to this God, the Yahweh, the Lord that Jonah came and talked about. They were saved. And here's where we're gonna pick up. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. He didn't see them as unredeemable. He forgave them. So they changed, he changed his mind, no more destruction, yay! Great end to the story, right? Praise God, what a relief, what a celebration. Wouldn't it be amazing if the story actually ended here? We're only in chapter 3. I told you there's 4 chapters, there's a whole nother chapter. Because here's the thing, that's a cause for a celebration. But this story isn't actually about the Ninevites. It's actually about the prophet Jonah. Because he was so fixated on how bad these people were that they were unforgivable. Here's how he reacts. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became very angry. He sees this miracle, multiple miracles. The ocean becomes calm, it gets eaten by a fish, and a whole nation gets changed. 600,000 people turn to the Lord, and yet he's still upset. Why? His opinion mattered more than who he knew who God was and what God desired. He was so fixated on being right, on being, and these people deserving what they deserve. And look what he says next. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Does anybody else read that how I read it? What a God, right? Compassionate, merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love, eager to turn back from destroying people. What a God. Not let me complain about that. Isn't that amazing? But yet Jonah couldn't see that. He had literally forgotten everything about how good God is because he was only focused on what his thought process was, that these people are wicked. Side note, I love this verse because a lot of people believe that the Old Testament God is different than the New Testament God. New Testament is loving, compassionate, since Jesus is for us, not against us. This shows us that he's the same God. He's not any different in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And so keep trusting God is what this tells us, that he is such an incredible God, that he is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger. He wants everyone to turn to him. So incredible. And then next, Jonah keeps going. He's not done yet. Here's what he says. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. He's so dramatic. This reminds me of my kids when they were little and I would say, clean your room. And they'd be like, ah, right? And they were like, I don't want to do it so hard. I'm like, he's just whining. Sorry, this is how I read my Bible. But like, I'm like, Jonah never really got it. Because the rest of chapter 4 is him complaining. And then it ends. That's it. That's the end of the story. Jonah was the prophet who never really got it. That's how we know him. It just ends. And he's known as the one who just is so fixated on how wicked these people are that he could never see them as redeemable. And instead of being in awe and wonder of his heavenly father, he was like, no, they deserve complete judgment. And he just sat down and goes, destroy them, Lord. And many times that's what we do. That's the way we think about it. We get so fixated on something that we can't see it another way. And we end up being like Jonah, angry, bitter, and we can't be happy with the people around us. We have started affecting everyone around us where they become bitter. They become angry, all because our life moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so if we change our thinking, we could change our life because we'll start moving in a different direction. But the problem is many of us are stuck right now and we're crashing and burning or on our way to a crash and burn. And this is why many of us don't have peace and joy in our lives. This is why we can never be satisfied, why we can't rest at night, because we get stuck in this loop, this self-fulfilling prophecy, this vicious cycle. And this narrative keeps going in our head of, I can't believe who I am. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe that didn't happen. And we're so fixated on this one thought. And I dare to say this, but if you don't change, if you don't listen to this today, and this is you, you're gonna keep crashing and burning. You're gonna keep crashing and burning. Ironically, there's a way out to not be like Jonah. And the reason it's ironic is I actually wanna look at something Jonah did to help us get out of that cycle, to help keep us from crashing and burning or ignoring the warning signs that lead to a crash and burn. See, when Jonah was in the whale, he says something that if he had just stuck with this, it would have changed his mind and we would not know Jonah this way. And so what I wanna do is I'm gonna read it and I'm not gonna put it on the screen because I just want you to listen and I just want you to take in what happens. He goes through this progression, these, I would say, steps that will actually help us get this. So here's how it goes. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Okay, do you see what happened? First, Jonah has this moment, this wake-up call, this come-to-Jesus moment. It's like when I tell my kids, hey, we need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. You're acting weird, all right? You're not acting how you should be acting. And that's what happened to Jonah. He had this wake-up call. in the belly of this fish. And when that happens, do you notice this prayer? It's a progression where he says things like, from the depths, from down, the seaweed was wrapped around my head, the deep surrounded me. He was just looking down. He was just focusing down. But then all of a sudden, something switches. And he changes where he's looking. And he starts looking up. I remembered you. My prayer rose to you. You brought my life up from the pit. And then he ends with this. What I have vowed, I will make good. That's when he got spit out of the whale and went and delivered the message. See, there's this progression that I think can absolutely help us. And it starts with the wake up. That's the first thing that happened to Jonah. He had a wake up moment. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. You can't cause this. But what if it's happening to you right now? What if this is your wake up call? What if you're listening to this, you're like, oh my gosh, I've been going in this direction. And if I keep going in this direction with my thoughts, I'm going to not only crash and burn, but I'm going to hurt a lot of people around me. And right now you're listening to this and you're like, I need to do something. I need to change. That's the goal. Because a wake up call causes you to stop going in the same direction. It's jarring. It's like, oh man. And that could be happening. The Holy Spirit could be doing that to you right now. And then the second thing, after Jonah had this wake up moment, he started to look up. He started to look to his heavenly Father, because looking up causes you to look at something different, not what's bringing you down. Because so many times we're like, my job's terrible. I feel unsatisfied in my life. I feel like I wish I could just do better. I'm terrible. I'm horrible. Why can't I get out of this pit? My finances are terrible. And you just start saying this narrative. And so you've got to change your perspective. When you have a wake up moment, this is something you can actually do. You look up and not focusing on what is bringing you down. And when that happens, you'll change up. You notice Jonah went from down to up, and after he started singing that song by Forrest Frank, and now I'm up, right? Like he said, then his mind changed. He was able to change up his mind. And then, because he said, what I have vowed, I will make good. That's when he got spit on dry land and did what he was supposed to do. It wasn't like, okay, God, spit me out, now I'm gonna go. It was, no, what I have vowed, what my calling is, what my assignment is, what you've told me to do, I have changed my perspective. I will no longer fixate on how wicked those people were. And because of that, I will change up my mind. Well, that would have worked if that's actually what he said. Because what actually happened with Jonah is he didn't actually get a different mindset. He changed up and he went and did it. But then if you notice, if he kept focusing on who God was and how he's helped him versus the nation of the Ninevites, he would have actually stayed here and walked in a different direction after they got saved and praising God. But instead, he didn't have a different mindset. And that's the thing I want to tell you. You can't will yourself to do this. A lot of times we want to immediately take action. We hear this, we have a wake up moment, and we're like, okay, I'm going to start walking in this direction now. But then you end up coming back to the same place or even farther. And then you start to speak affirmations of yourself and you're wondering like, why can't I go in that way? Well, it's because you haven't changed your thought process. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so if you change your mind, if you change your thinking, you'll change your life. Just like Jonah might have changed his physical direction, changing your physical direction isn't actually what needs to be done. It's when you have your wake up moment, it's looking up and going, God, you are all I need. I trust you. I need you to help me. And it's like saying, and it's not saying be an eternal optimist. It's not saying just fake it till you make it and pretend to be happy. Nor is this saying it's going to fix all your problems. But when you look up, your mindset changes and you start instead of being an eternal optimist, you're being optimistic and you're able to step out of your problems and actually find a different solution, find people who can help you instead of still going in that direction over and over and over to where you're gonna keep crashing and burning and you're stuck in your thinking. Because if Jonah had focused on his assignment, if he had listened to what the prophet Isaiah said, where he tells us your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are not our ways, if he listened to what the prophet Isaiah said there, he would have saved himself from a crash and burn. He would have saved himself from all this time of walking away. And so for us, that's what we need to do. We need to look up so that we can change up our thinking. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you before I continue. Many times when we hear this message, we say, yeah, I need to do that. Okay, God, give me a sign. Give me a sign to change what I'm supposed to do. You got to tell me, I'm waiting on you. And we start using all this jargon, right? And here's the thing. While Jonah was in the belly of the whale, God never spoke to him. It never says God said, Jonah, I want you to remember your assignment to me. No, Jonah came to that realization on his own. Here's the problem with wanting a sign. That becomes our relationship with God. He's not going to do that. God, give me a sign to date this person. Give me a sign to take that job. Give me a sign. And we're just waiting on God to make the decision instead of using the brain he's given us because we're made in his image. And you know what to do. But yet I hear it all the time. Raul, I just need a sign to go serve in kid ministry. I just need a sign to get baptized. I just need a sign to follow Jesus. And I'm like, here's your sign. Just like Jesus told the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, and you're just like Jonah, who wants a sign. Here's your sign. I'm your sign, is what Jesus said. And many times we get so fixated on not making a decision because we're actually living in fear, not faith, when that happens. Because God knows if he just keeps giving us signs, we're not going to trust him. We're not even going to move. We're not going to use the brain he's given us. And you're smart people. I trust you. He trusts you. And here's what I love. When you make the decision, instead of looking for a sign, we trust him to guide us, right? And then he will guide us if something's not going the right way, or he'll confirm when we're going the right way. And that's what Jonah needed to do. He needed to look up and then change up, but not his direction, his thinking, instead of looking for a sign for God to bring judgment on these people. Because here's the thing, the brain is so complex, but yet we're made in his image. We can use that mind, because when you change your mind, it results in a change of direction. So, what are you so focused on that's causing you to be stuck right now? What do you need to think differently about? Your heavenly Father doesn't want you to stay in that prison. He wants you to keep living with a different mindset, a mindset that looks up, that looks to him, the only one who can change our mindset instead of looking at ourselves, right? And so when we do that, we'll literally do what Jesus told us to do. We'll act and react Christ-like. We'll love the people around us. We'll serve the people around us. We'll live free in that full life that he wants us to have, because that's what Jesus came to do. He said, he came to literally change the way people look at God, as compassionate, as merciful, slow to anger. Some of you know my story, but I had this realization, this wake-up moment, this come-to-Jesus moment after going through Hurricane Katrina. I remember going to my in-law's house in Florida and leaving New Orleans. And when I got there, I remember watching TV and just watching the floodwaters rise and knowing I've lost everything. And I got angry. Like, I got so angry because I said, God, I changed my life. I changed the direction of my life from what I wanted to do to what you called me to do. And I went to study and how to do ministry, and this is how you treat me? And I got so angry. And I started missing everything else going around me. I was so fixated. Everyone was wondering why I was so angry. I even missed that people heard our situation in this small town and started bringing us diapers for our kids, clothes for our kids, gift cards for us. And I would receive them and be like, thank you, but I was still angry at God. It wasn't until my wake-up moment where I walked into my in-law's living room and they had put everything people had brought for us in a pile, and it was big. And when I saw that, I woke up. I realized I have been so angry at God who's been providing for me and showing me he is good and merciful and with me the whole time. And when that happened, I looked up and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, God. Thank you for showing me how good you are. And now that's when my mindset started shifting. I started becoming a little more joyful, a little more happier. And I started continuing on the direction I was supposed to be, because let me tell you, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here. My mindset was so filled with anger and it affected my family that there's no way I could be here to talk to you today. But instead, God reoriented me and I looked up and that changed my mindset so that I can keep going and running towards him to be here today. So I thank him. And I was actually reminded of that while we were singing just now, of his goodness. and his mercy. And he's slow to anger, and he so sees you as forgivable. And he's not angry at you, and he's not angry at me. And so listen, you can vent. You can complain, but don't stay there. Because when you do, you'll just keep looking down. This is your wake-up call. Look up and restore hope to yourself so you can change your mindset. I know some of you are going through a divorce and it feels terrible. Some of you are, you've lost your job and your kids aren't being who you hoped they would be and you feel like you're not winning at work, but look up. Look to your Heavenly Father. Get out of that mindset. Stop developing that neural pathway, that rut that's gonna keep you going in the direction you don't wanna go. And you know that. You're smart people. You know that. And when you look up, then you'll change up your thinking process. And that's how you win the war in your mind. Because your story isn't over. There's hope. You can change your mind by looking at your Heavenly Father. Because here's the thing, and you'll have a story to tell. And it won't be because you changed. It'll be because God changed you. And you'll begin to look up in hope even when things seem bleak. And you won't gloss over them. You won't push them aside. You won't try to fix them. No, you'll be able to have a different mindset to look at them and to have strength and energy and courage to attack your problems with the help of your Heavenly Father who is compassionate and merciful. What a God. He is so good. And I hope that you don't end up being like Jonah. I hope you get this because this is so important, not just for you, for the people around you and for the people in your community and our community, that they can know God is for them and so are we. That they can look at us and go, I want what they have. They have joy, they have peace. They serve, they love me. They're not, their opinions don't overshadow their assignment. They don't get angry at me. They don't just compromise. They actually want to make change happen. That can only happen when you look up and change up your thinking. So here's the deal. Jonah was a prophet who never really got it. But you can. And you will. You're smart people. And you're gonna look up to change up your thoughts. So stop focusing on what you've done wrong. Stop focusing on what you didn't do. Stop focusing on you. And look up, and then you'll change up your thoughts, which will change the direction of your life. Because here's the thing, your calling is too great, and your life is too valuable, and your God is too good for you to keep looking down. So let's look up. Let's be a group of people who look up. Let's pray. God, you are so good that you give us a way to change so we don't have to keep developing this neural pathway, this rut, this way of thinking that keeps us criticizing ourselves, being our own worst critic, criticizing the people around us, allowing our opinion to be what we fixate on that we can't see any other way. Because Lord, you're a good God and you, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You can do so much more. So let us look to you to help us move forward, to become who we want to become, to do what we want to do, to go to where we want to go in order to glorify and honor you. And the only reason we can do this is because of Jesus. So thank you for sending him. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.